of the Lord in this place this morning. Amen. Going to the Gospel of Luke, Luke 7 and 36. And the scripture says in Luke 7 and 36, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in that city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner." And we're going to go to verse 43. "Simon," this is the Pharisee, "answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gave me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, given, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven." I want to talk to you on this thought this morning. The portrait of a worshiper. The portrait of a worshiper. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Would you pray that God would help us be a hearer and a doer of His Word this morning? Lifting your hands, lifting your voices, just petitioning the Lord this morning. Father, we come before You. We thank You for all that You have done, God, and all that You would do in this place. We thank You for Your presence that we felt this morning, God, the worship, the spirit of unity, harmony, God, of one another, the fellowship, God, of the saints, God. Would You lift your voices? Would You help Pastor, God? We pray tonight, this morning, that You let Your will would be done, God, and help us, God. Help my voice today, God. Help us, God, to be, oh God, unified in spirit, knowing that all things are possible with You this morning, God. And we love You, and we give You praise and glory and thanks, and we adore You, God, for all that You have done and all that You're going to do, oh God. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. A portrait is a verbal picture or description. It's a likeness of a person. It's been said that a picture is worth a thousand words. You ever meet somebody that's always taking pictures? Now, I know that most of us have smartphones and they're still, they're still flip phones and they take pictures too. But if you remember, 10 years ago or so, before the smartphone, before the iPhone came out, you would go down and maybe you'd get one of those, cameras that you would take pictures with, and then you take it down to a photo studio, and maybe it was a 1 hour photo, and you could afford to pay the extra money to get it developed faster, or maybe you had film and you would turn it in and they would develop the film, and then you would have pictures of whatever it was you took. And you remember, you know, especially when you were a lot younger, you would take pictures of friends, and you're gonna be best friends forever, and nothing was gonna get in between you and them and your friendship. But something along the road happens, and so now you're stuck with these pictures of people that they did you wrong. And so what you would see is you would, you know, I remember some friends in school, in college or in high school, they would cut out those people, or they would just kind of mark over them or put a sticker on their face, you know, because the rest of the picture is kind of memorable, but it's that slimy person, you know, that one person, the two timer, you know, the home wrecker, that person that did something. And but all three of the other people in the picture, they're all right. So they would just kind of take that person out want. And sometimes you even see today on social media that there's the picture doesn't sit right. There's like it's something is wrong. It's like they took a family picture and they're using it for the profile picture. It's kind of awkward looking. And it's because it's the portrait of the picture itself is not a true representation of the totality of the picture. And what we have today is a portrait of a worshiper. You see, this lady was not invited to the dinner. She was not invited to the reception at the Pharisee's home. This Pharisee, we learn later, his name is Simon. And this is a remarkable story because it shows us the approachability of Jesus. That Jesus is approachable. In fact, in Luke, you see oftentimes Jesus spending a lot of time with the Pharisees. He eats with Simon the Pharisee. He not only was a friend of sinners, but he was a friend of the self-righteous. Self-righteous. And so he accepts the invitation to go to Simon's house, and he goes to the Pharisee's home. And in those days, obviously, they traveled on dusty roads, and they wore sandals, and most of that, the feet were exposed, except for the bottoms, and they were used with leather ties, and you have the picture of the Old Testament lifestyle, or the New Testament, Old Testament lifestyle, where they walked wherever they went. Their roads were dusty. It wasn't a modern time. And so Jesus is invited to go to this Pharisee's home to eat. And we don't know the reason why Simon wanted Jesus to eat. There's a lot of speculation, but I'm not into speculation, but I think we're going to learn in this scripture setting that there was a lot that Simon had to learn, even though he was a self-righteous one. You see, the scripture tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. And the scripture also tells us for all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. If you got to go around telling everybody that you're holy and you're righteous and you're a Christian, there's probably something wrong, because the scripture says that you are the salt of the earth, you're the city on a hill, that your light should show shine. You shouldn't have to go around and tell everybody, I'm a holy person. They ought to see it by your actions. If you got to go around holding a sign up and saying, I'm a Christian, hey, there's probably something you're hiding. You shall know them by their fruit, not by what they say or tweet or post. Well, so we have this scripture setting of a portrait of a worshiper. Jesus, the approachable one. He's not like some folks that aren't approachable. There's some folks that they know they're not approachable, and you know they're not approachable. They're the ones that they're not going to get invited to the Christmas party, and if they are, everybody's hoping they don't show up. They're hoping that they forget that they were invited. Their kids can't approach them. Their coworkers can't approach them. They keep everyone at arm's length. But Jesus is approachable. In fact, the scripture tells us in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We got to understand this morning that there's no hurt, there's no pain, there's no sin, there's no sickness, there's no situation that is too hard or too complex for our Lord. In fact, the scripture tells us in Romans 5 and 20 that moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That means that as much sin as there is, there's that much or more grace to overcompensate for the sin. There's just so much that we don't even realize, unbeknownst to us, that our Heavenly Father is doing for us. We get up and we go throughout the day and we don't realize the things that He has kept us from, the things that He has prevented us from, that we don't even understand. We don't even see that when we hit the stoplight, there's a reason why sometimes we hit the stoplight. You got a brand new car and your car pitter-patter, just saying, what's going on with my car? But it takes that extra second for you to slow down, to second guess yourself, but before you know it, you would have been on a head-on collision. We come to this scripture setting, and Jesus is in the home of Simon, an invited guest. You see, in those days, the who's who would get together, and they would eat and fellowship, and the common folk would kind of wonder who would be coming by to eat. And so there were a lot of looky-loos wondering what was going on. What are they going to eat and who's coming? And so it was, as the scripture was saying in other settings, it was noised abroad. And so it was probably not a secret that Jesus was going to be at Simon the Pharisee's home for dinner. But this lady who the scripture is very specific about doesn't give her a name, but calls her by her sin. How would you like to be called by your sin? You know, the adulterer, the drug addict, right? But the scripture doesn't give her a name, but he calls her by her sin. She wasn't invited. She wasn't welcome, but yet she showed up. It's pretty intimidating to go to somebody's house that you're not invited in. And this person is a Pharisee, a religious person who is self-proclaimed righteous. And they knew the law and they were leaders in the community. But this lady, a sinful lady, the scripture is very, notice this, it says, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. So it means that everybody knew she was a sinner. She comes in and I can imagine the intimidating encounter she may have faced where she walks in and there she sees Jesus and she goes to him, the master and her with the soiled reputation. And I believe that Luke omits the name of this lady to show the humility and the awesomeness of our Savior's approachability, to know that he is, there's no respecter of persons with the Lord. There's no amount of pedigree. There's no amount of religious authority that you have to have. This could be your first time in the church and you can approach the Lord and he's willing to hear, to see, to bless, to love, to forgive, and to save his people today. And this lady gives us a portrait of a worshiper. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. You see, 1 Corinthians 6:9 tells us, know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But Paul goes to write and says, and such were some of you, were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Is anybody thankful today for forgiveness? Is anybody thankful today that you don't have to live in sin, but you can overcome and you can be saved? You can be baptized in Jesus' name, fully immersed in water. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utter. Is anybody thankful today for repentance? She gives us a portrait of a worshiper because she comes in. And she comes in with humility. The scripture says she's weeping. She comes with an alabaster box, which is a box of, or a vial of perfume, an ointment. She begins to weep. She's not crying, but she's weeping. And just imagine this would be today as an object lesson. The vial, the alabaster box. It's an alabaster perfumed ointment. And she comes and to weep is deep sorrow. Weeping is the expression of passion with crying by shedding of tears. And this no doubt probably caused a stir and a ruckus and some discomfort because it's dinner time. There's other people there and Jesus is there and this lady comes in and she's weeping. She's uninvited, a sinful lady. These weren't crocodile tears. You know, this isn't the type of tears that your kids, you know, they muster up because they ate too many cookies before dinner time. And you said one cookie and then six Oreos later, it wasn't those kind of tears. Not tears because I got caught but they were tears because of humility, because the tears can represent worship. In fact, Psalms 126 and 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Scripture escapes me this time, but it's in the Psalm. It's not there. But it says that he collects our tears. You know, there's something about tears. Tears, is worship too. Just this lady we're going to see, she brings worship, but there's no words with her worship. There's a lot of similarities between of her worship and the prayer of Hannah, who Hannah, the man of God, thought she was drunk, but it was because she was in deep anguish and sorrow and prayer, and she was in desperation with her prayers, with moanings and groanings, that she make her petition known unto the Lord. And there's things that we gotta understand that worship isn't something that we do, it is who we are. We needs to be a lifestyle of worship. Worship isn't just something that we gather together and we have a worship leader who comes and sings songs to us, but worship is what you can do out of the church, in the church. You could worship the Lord while you're driving your car. You could be singing in your office. You could be in your living room sitting in your chair and you could be worshiping the Lord. You could be on the job site and have a worship fest with the King of Glory and begin to thank Him for all that He has done. Sometimes it's through the tears of worship that joy is exposed. You see, not everyone that has their hands lifted up and is crying is having a bad day, is living a sinful life. Not everybody that you see in the church house that's got their hands lifted up is backslid or guilty or full of sin. Many times there's tears of happiness and joy. And anybody testify of the tears of gratefulness and thanksgiving unto the Lord when you consider all that He has done. My soul cries, yes. I just get overwhelmed at times when I think about all the Lord has done, the things that I'm aware of, unbeknownst, the things that He's doing that I don't even see or understand. And He's a way maker, and I don't even see at times the ways that He's making for me. You can cry happy tears. You see, this lady comes in and she's weeping and she brings the alabaster ointment box. And it was customary in those days that if you were to go to a home like Simon the Pharisee, for there should have been somebody there that would have washed the feet of Jesus when He got to the front door. Customary, they would have given Him a kiss on the cheek on both sides. They would have provided Him with some olive oil or something just to freshen up. But this lady comes in uninvited, a sinful lady, and she approaches Jesus and she's weeping. And she's got so much tears that the scripture tells us that she begins to clean or wash the feet of Jesus with her tears. You see, when Simon, the Pharisee, he knew better. He should have had somebody there to wash the feet of Jesus. But he couldn't see beyond himself. See, a lot of times when you're self-righteous, you see the sins of everyone else under a microscope, and you look at your own sins under a telescope. Come on, somebody. This lady gives us a portrait of a worshiper because she comes in. She goes to Jesus. She's weeping. She's washing His feet with her tears. And then she begins to dry His feet with her hair. See, traditionally, she could have been divorced by her husband for taking her hair down and letting it be exposed in public under that tradition of that time. Additionally, I like this part, her hair was long enough, ladies, to be able to wash and dry the feet of Jesus. You see, the weeping created enough tears to wash the feet of Jesus, and she dries them with her hair, demonstrating the portrait of a worshiper. That I don't care who's there, who's invited, who's not invited. When I get in the presence of Jesus, I'm going to worship Him. Sit there if you want. Lift your hands if you want. Shout if you want. Cry if you want. Run if you want. Whatever you want to do. I'm going to worship Jesus. How I worship Him. Where I worship Him. When I worship Him. In fact, Jesus told another lady in John 4:23, the time has come. In fact, now is the time when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. A lot of times we get caught up in the shuffle of the position of worship instead of just worshiping. I wonder what would happen at Revival Tabernacle this morning if we wouldn't worry about who's worshiping? Why aren't they worshiping? Why aren't they standing? Why aren't they at the altar? Why aren't they lifting their hands? Why don't they look like everyone else? It doesn't matter, baby. This lady showed us that Jesus is approachable, and I'm going to worship Him anytime, any way I get a chance. I'm going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you worship the King this morning? Take a moment and worship the Lord. Would you take a moment and worship the Lord? Worship, worship, worship. You see, in this setting, we have an example of two people in the presence of Jesus. One is a sinful lady who finds opportunity to worship Jesus. Although risky and uninvited, she takes the risk to show up and worship. The other is a Pharisee who is a religious person, but shows no worship, nor reverence. Simon welcomed Jesus into his home, but he didn't welcome him into his heart. And this lady wasn't invited, but yet she reverently worshiped the Lord. She gives us a demonstration of the portrait of a true worshiper. You see, the very arrogance of Simon, who Jesus begins to call him out. See, Jesus, he really proved to Simon who he was. Excuse me. Because as this was all going on, Simon says within himself, if this man was truly a prophet, he wouldn't let this take place. He wouldn't let this happen. But he says that within himself, the scripture tells us. But Jesus proves to him that he's more than a prophet, because he says, Simon, let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. And he begins to tell him a story about two men that were in debt, and one owed 500 pieces of silver and another 50 pieces of silver, and they couldn't pay the debt. And so Simon tells him, who do you think, if both debts were eliminated, which they were, which of the two would have more reason to be more grateful? And of course, Simon says, well, the one that was forgiven of the biggest debt. And Jesus says, you're right. And this lady has, whose much sin is forgiven much, so she loves much. Can I tell you here this morning that there's some of us that God has done so much for us that we cannot sit there and spectate and forget about what it was like to be in sin, but we got to remember from which the pit that the Lord has brought us from, that any chance we get, we got to worship the Lord. Any chance that we get, we got to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If this lady who was a sinner could come into a person that was supposedly religious and put this man to shame, see, this man couldn't see the sins of omission that he was causing. See, this lady had sins of commission. See, a lot of us see the sins of commission. The stealing, the lying, the cheating, the murdering, the gossip. But we don't see oftentimes a sin of commission. You know, like the rebellious spirit within us. The prideful, the arrogancy, the vindictive natures. And the vengeful ways and being spiteful. See, those are sins. And the scripture tells us, him that knoweth to do good and do it not good, to him it is sin. So there's things that maybe I can do and get away with. And for me, it's not a sin. But for you, just even thinking about it becomes a sin. And that's what the scripture is telling us, that this lady, she wasn't worried about the setting. She just wanted to get to the feet of Jesus. And how many of us today have the same passion to say, I just got to get to the feet of Jesus. I just got to get to church. And if I can't get to church, I'm going to find a time of prayer. If I can't get to church on Wednesday, I'm going to find a little prayer room in my house, and I'm going to talk to the Lord. I'm going to go to my car on my lunch hour, and I'm going to take some time to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not going to take for granted the breath that I breathe, but I'm going to give a portrait of a worshiper with all that I am. See, worship is an act of adoration. It's an expression of the spiritual attitude we possess towards God. To truly worship God, we must yield ourselves of self. You see, I worship the Lord because He's great. But I praise the Lord because the Scripture says that everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord. I worship the Lord because He's worthy. I worship the Lord because it's what He deserves. You see, this lady had a revelation of worship because she didn't allow her sins, her social setting, her invitation, her reputation, not being invited, nor the fact of what people would say, hinder her from getting to the feet of Jesus and worshiping our Savior. See, her authentic worship caused a man that was supposed to be self-righteous to be exposed of his own sins. Think about that. This lady's lavish tears, the expensive perfume that she poured on his feet, because Jesus even says, you see, I come to your house and you invite me to dinner, but you don't even treat me or give me the guest of honor that I'm due. But this lady comes in here and she does for me in front of everybody what you should have did. She wasn't invited. And oh, by the way, she's a sinner. Yeah. Mm. See, she shows the humility of somebody that has been forgiven. Do you find yourselves going through the motions with your walk with God? Just going through the calisthenics, the protocol, but taking it for granted. And what Lamentation says is that His mercies are renewed every morning. We would just ponder that for a moment, that every day His mercies renewed every morning. What if you reached the cap? What if the Lord was like some of us? What if He judged us the way we judge others? Oh, you did me wrong. 3 strikes, you're out. He doesn't do that. He that forgiveth has received much forgiveness should love much. If you've been forgiven and you're loved by the Lord, you ought to worship much. There ought to be much worship. You see, Simon the Pharisee was exposed. But this lady who was a sinful person that everybody knew about her sins comes in and she's forgiven. Jesus forgives her because of her worship. You know, a lot of times you come into the church and you got stuff that you brought in and you get into a spirit of worship. And it's not about the organ or the beat of the drums or the song, but it's just you and your little place with the Lord. You're just lifting up the name of the Lord. And sometimes it's wordless worship. This lady didn't say anything. Read it. 13, 14 verses long. Luke 7, 36 through 50. She doesn't utter one word and God forgives her. But yet Simon, he thinks something and the Lord calls him out. For the word of the Lord is a discerner of the intents and the thoughts of the heart of man. Think about that. We'll say, well, you say a whole lot by your facial expressions, right? A lot of our communication is not what we say, but it's by the verbal things that we say. Well, why don't we start verbalizing our worship unto God and say, you know what? You're going to sit by me. You're going to worship. If you're not going to sit here, then if you're going to sit by me, you worship. If not, sit somewhere else because I'm going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But if I don't worship the way you do, don't you judge me, baby, because I worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Psalms 51 and 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. The New Living Translation says, the sacrifices you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and a repentant heart. We need to come to the Lord with a spirit of humility. You see, Simon the Pharisee missed out on something. He could have been forgiven of his prideful arrogance. Instead, he spectated while a lady worshiped and she was forgiven. James 4 and 8 tells us, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. If you want to be lifted up and you want to be positioned for promotion, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. See, this lady humbled herself in the sight of the Lord and she was forgiven. But Simon the Pharisee, self-righteous, And he was put down in the face of a sinful lady who was later forgiven of her sins. Notice this. This lady teaches us that the portrait of a worshiper doesn't need anyone to cheer them on. She didn't have anyone to cheer her on. In fact, she had somebody that scoffed at her. A worshiper doesn't need a platform, a church service, or a song. This lady didn't have any of that. A worshiper doesn't need a crowd, and a worshiper doesn't need permission to worship the Lord. All they need is a moment of humility and an encounter with God where they can adore Him and they can worship the Lord with all that they have and all that they'll be. They worship the Lord. As the psalmist says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." I wonder how many times that we forget that we have a Maker, and the things that we do and the things that we have and the stuff that we accumulated isn't because of self, but it's because of the gift that God has entrusted and has given to us. We have salvation. We have repentance. We have baptism in Jesus' name. We have the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking another tongue. We have a heavenly home. We have holiness. We should have unity in the church. We should have unity in the Spirit. We should have unity with revival. We're going to have unity with our worship. We're going to pray. We're going to reach our city. But we're going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have determined before I'm a pastor, before I'm a husband, before I'm a Christian, I'm going to be a worshiper. Because a worshiper doesn't need any reason to worship the Lord. A lot of times you got to have reason to do some of the stuff that you do. But a worshiper just worships. A worshiper just worships. Would you lift your hands and worship? It's your worship this morning. Your voice, your worship, your hands, your posture, your way, your words. I worship. I worship. I wonder this morning if we are worshipers or welcomers. Simon was a welcomer. Oh yeah, come to my house. But he wasn't a worshiper. I don't want to be a welcomer. I want to be a worshiper. Do we provide lip service to the Lord rather than being a doer? Do we treat Jesus like a spare tire, taking Him out and calling on Him only when we need Him? Am I more concerned with how I look in front of others and what people think of me than what Jesus actually knows about me? Because perception is reality, they say. Whether it's reality or not, I'm more worried and concerned about what Jesus knows about me. Amen. Well, as your musicians come this morning, we ought not to be primed, cheerleaded, be led, coerced to worship the Lord. We should be able to worship the Lord in church, out of church, with music, no music, in the car, good day, bad day, lots of food, no food, amen, bills paid, sick, healthy. I worship the Lord anyways. That's what Job said. I came into this world with nothing. If I leave with anything, blessed be the name of the Lord anyways. I know my Redeemer liveth. He worshiped the Lord. It was Abraham took his son up the mountain, said, "I and the lad are going to go worship and we'll come back again." He didn't tell everybody that he was going to go, and the Lord said to sacrifice his son, his only son. He said, "We're going to go worship." A lot of times worship is a sacrifice. You don't feel good. You might be burning up with fever. You might be in the church house. You may be in a bad situation. You cannot get the words to come out of your mouth, but you can just worship the Lord. With your hands lifted or just seated there. And you just worship. You worship. You see, with much love, there's much forgiveness. And with much forgiveness, there's much love. Those who are forgiven most, love most. So many of us this morning have so much that God has forgiven us of today. Not just today, but in our lifetime. But we let our worship be constrained or intimidated by others. See, They ought to feel uncomfortable that they're not worshiping. You ought not to feel uncomfortable because you are worshiping. This is a church house. Amen. They ought to feel uncomfortable for not praying, not you being uncomfortable because you are praying. It's worship. It's what I do. Worship's not easily hindered. This lady didn't let anything hinder her. Much forgiveness, much love. Much love, much forgiveness. So we stand this morning. The portrait of a worshiper. Our Savior is approachable. I may not always be approachable for whatever reason. You may work for somebody or live in a home with somebody that's not approachable. And so there's reservation. There's things that are unsettled and things that won't take place in a process of healing and solutions to problems that will never be met because they won't be dealt with. But our Savior is approachable. This morning, He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to forgive with repentance. If you got sin in your life, ask God to forgive you. Repent of your sins. Acts 2:38 says, and Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. For the remission of sins, you receive the Holy Ghost. He says, for the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off. Sometimes you got to save yourself from the sins that you're in. And if you're here today, don't fool yourself. Everybody's got something you're dealing with. Some sins are hidden than others, but God sees it all. Man looketh on the outside, but God looketh at the heart. And what we need today is a portrait of worship that says, I got much love. He's got much love for me, much forgiveness. And so I'll worship Him no matter what. So easy. Would you lift your hands? Would you sing? Would you come? So easy to love you. Come on, there ought to be a mad dash. So easy to love you. The altars ought to be full of forgiven people.
Because you're wonderful.
Under the hand of a loving God.
So easy. So easy to love you. It's so easy to love you. Because you're wonderful. It's so easy to love you. It's so easy to love you.
So easy, so easy.
So easy to love you.
I want to be forgiven.
Because you're wonderful.
Anybody want to be forgiven?
It's so easy to love you. It's so easy to love you. So easy to love you. Because you're awesome. So easy to love you. So easy to love you.
I want to be forgiven.
So easy.